ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 फोर्थ श्लोका 9th चैप्टर। मया ततमिदं सर्वं जगदव्यक्तमूर्तिना मत्स्थानि सर्वभूतानि न चाहं तेष्वस्थितः। इन द फर्स्ट थ्री श्लोकास ऑफ दिस चैप्टर कृष्णा डिस्क्राइब्ड द ग्लोरीज ऑफ द नॉलेज ऑफ भक्ति योगा प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस। इन द फर्स्ट श्लोका He said that this knowledge will eventually lead to realization of the Supreme Lord Krishna also. In the second shloka, he described the eight characteristics of knowledge of pure bhakti. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idam, Uttamam. And in the third shloka, in the first shloka also, he described the qualifications to receive this knowledge. One is Anasuyave, second is Shraddha. Anasuyave means one should be non-envious to receive the knowledge of bhakti, practice bhakti yoga and attain Krishna's mercy. Second, one should have faith to receive knowledge of bhakti, to practice bhakti and to attain Krishna. Faith and non-envy are very important. So, this is the gist of the first three shlokas. Now, from the fourth shloka onwards, Krishna will actually reveal the knowledge. From 4th shloka till 10th shloka, Krishna describes Aishwarya Jnana, the knowledge of His potencies, His majesty. How Krishna maintains this world through His various energies, Krishna describes in the 4th shloka up to 10th shloka. Okay. In the 4th shloka, Krishna says, Mayatatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avasthitaha. Mayatatam idam sarvam, by me this entire universe is pervaded. I am there within everything. Krishna is the source and sustenance of every single object and every single living being in the entire material universe. Maya, by me, tatam idam sarvam. Entire universe is pervaded by Krishna. Krishna is there in everything. That's the meaning of the first line. Second line, jagad avyakta murtina. If Krishna is there within everything, in the entire universe, Jagat, why can't we see Him? Because Krishna is there in an unmanifest form, invisible to our material eyes. Jagat avyakta murtina. Vyakta means manifest, avyakta means unmanifest, invisible to our senses, to our eyes. So, although Krishna is there within everything, He is all pervading, still we cannot see Him because He is invisible, He is unmanifest to material eyes. But for those who have love for Krishna, those who have elevated consciousness by sincere, regular practice of bhakti yoga, such people can see Krishna in every nook and corner of the universe. They can actually perceive Krishna. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. If someone's vision is anointed with love of God, then one can easily perceive Krishna in every nook and corner of the universe. Otherwise, Krishna remains unmanifested to the eyes of materialistic people. Okay. So, there are materialistic people who cannot see Krishna within everything. There are exalted spiritual practitioners and exalted pure devotees who can see Krishna within everything. But there are practitioners, sadhakas, who cannot see Krishna within everything, but by studying Shastras, they become aware that Krishna is there within everything. And they continue to practice Bhakti Yoga, eventually they will come to a stage where they can see Krishna within everything. That's what Chatushloki Bhagavatam also says. So, Mayatatamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtina. Krishna is there within everything in an unmanifest form. That's the meaning of first two lines. Third line, matsthani sarva bhutani. Sarva bhutani means all the living entities and all the objects within the entire universe. Matsthani, they are situated within me. in the third line of this shloka, Krishna says that all the beings are within him. All the beings are within him means that all the living beings are being maintained by him. They are sustaining on him. They are dependent on him. Okay. In the first line, Krishna said, I am there within everything. In the third line, Krishna is saying, everything is there within me. Okay. When he says, everything is there within me, that means that everything is based on me, dependent on me, being maintained by me, sustained by me. Okay. So, the existence of everything is dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is the cause and origin and source of everything. Fourth line. Nachaham teshu avasthitaha. But I am not there within them. Nacha aham teshu avasthitaha. Although everything is situated within me, I am not situated within them. What does it mean? Although everything is dependent on me, I am not dependent on them. So the fourth line of the shloka is not contradicting the first line. In the first line, when Krishna said, I am mayatatam idam sarvam, I am all pervading. I am there throughout the universe. I am there within every object and every being in this universe. When he said that, Krishna is indicating that everything is dependent on me. In the last line, when he said, Nachaham teshu avasthitaha, I am not there within them, means I am not dependent on them. Krishna is there within everybody to maintain them. When Krishna is there within somebody, somebody's body, he is not being maintained by that person. He is the one who is maintaining. In that sense, Krishna is there within them to maintain them. Krishna is not there within them because he is not dependent on them. Somebody is living within somebody's house. Okay. So, if he is staying in the house and if he is supplying the food and money and all the necessities for that house, he is maintaining that house. If some beggar comes into the house and then takes shelter of the people of the house and then he is being maintained by the charity given by that person, he is dependent on them. So, a poor person depending, staying in someone's house and then depending on them is one thing. A rich person entering someone's house and donating to them and then maintaining those people is different thing. So, Krishna stay within our bodies or within every object, within everything in this entire universe, he is to maintain them. But when Krishna says that, I am not there within them, what does he mean? He means that I am not dependent on them. Okay. So, that is the meaning of this shloka. Jagat avyaktamurtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avasthitaha. By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. What is that unmanifest form that Krishna is indicating? Brahman. Next he said, all beings are there within me. That is super soul. So, Garbhodak Sai Vishnu is the super soul of this entire universe. Kshirodak Sai Vishnu is the super soul within every single atom of the universe. And Mahavishnu is the super soul of the entire material realm. We already discussed this before. So, that's as super soul, everything is there within him. All the planetary systems are there within Garbhodak Sai Vishnu's body. So, as super soul, all beings are within him. But I am not in them. When he says, I am not in them, he is Bhagavan. Okay. So, there are three phases of absolute truth, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. As Brahman, he is all pervading. As Paramatma, he is sustaining everything. Okay. And as Bhagavan, as a Bhagavan, he is not there within everything. As a super soul, he is there within everything. Because Bhagavan is the maintainer and the source of super soul also. Okay. So, Krishna is entering something and he is outside something, but in different capacities. Okay. Now, although Krishna is there everywhere, we cannot see him because we are not purified. Our senses are not transcendental yet. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Ataha Sri Krishna namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyaihi sevon mukhehi jihvadav svayameva spuratyada. Although Krishna is invisible to our material senses, if we chant the holy names of Krishna and if we engage our senses in Krishna's service, beginning with engaging our tongue in chanting his holy names and glorifying him, then eventually he will personally manifest himself in front of us. Okay, so sadaiva premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. One can see the Lord Govinda always within himself and outside himself if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. Okay, so just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation and everything is resting in that energy. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has no personal existence. Mayatatabhitam sarvam, he is there everywhere. That does not mean that he is not anywhere. Okay, if he is there everywhere, he cannot stay in his abode. He is all pervading. No, he is there also, he is everywhere also. He is everywhere in the form of Brahman. He is within everything in the form of Super Soul. And everything is there within him in the form of Garbhodaya, Kshaya Vishnu and Mahavishnu. And he is not there within everything because he is situated in the spiritual world as Bhagavan, as the Supreme Lord. Right? So his energies and his expansions are there within everything, and they are containing everything within them, but the Lord is aloof doing all his pastimes. Okay. Like that, in Krishna manifests himself in various forms. In various forms, he is there within everything, he is outside everything, and he is aloof from everything, he is involved in everything. Like that. Here one person, by his inconceivable potencies, he expands himself into various forms. And through his energies and through his expansions, he does so many things. Thus, there is no ambiguity. When we hear the description that he is there inside, he is there outside, he is small, he is big. Because he has multiple energies, he can do anything. Okay? He is inside also, he is outside also. Like that. Yet one should not conclude that because he spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such an argument, the Lord says, I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof. Just like king or the head of the government. See, for example, a king heads a government which is but the manifestation of king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on king's power. But still, one cannot expect that the king to be present in every department personally. That is a crude example. So when something is being manifested, it's happening because of the king's orders only within the kingdom. But he need not personally stay there. Similarly, when something is happening, that is Krishna's will. Krishna's expansions and energies are doing it. But he need not personally exist there. In that sense, he is not there. Okay, but whatever is being carried out is by his order and by his will. In that sense, he is personally there also. Okay. Next, fifth shloka. Nachamatsthani bhutani.
Nachamatsthani bhutani.
Pashyame yogamaishwaram.
Pashyame yogamaishwaram.
Bhutabhrannacha bhutastham.
Bhutabhrannacha bhutastham.
Mamatma bhutabhavanaham.
Mamatma bhutabhavanaham.
Nachamatsthani bhutani. Pashyame yogamaishwaram. Yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Okay. Earlier he said, everything that is created is sustaining on me. Okay? Matsthani sarva bhutani. Exactly opposite statement he is making in 5th shloka. Nacha matsthani bhutani. Matsthani sarva bhutani and nacha matsthani bhutani. The third line of 4th shloka and the first line of this 5th shloka. They are exactly opposite. Pashyame yogamaishwaram. That's where we need to understand Krishna's opulence, mystic opulence. Yogam aishwaram. Behold my mystic opulence, O Arjuna. Everything is there within me and everything is there not within me. Everything is dependent on me, but nothing is resting on me. Because I am aloof, I am detached. Okay. So, bhuta bhrinna cha bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. Okay. Everything that is created does not rest in me, in the sense that Krishna is aloof. And earlier, when Krishna said, Mayatatam, what is that? Matsthani sarva bhutani, all beings are there within me, means they are dependent on me. Now when he says that, Nachamatsthani bhutani, what does he mean? Although everything is dependent on me, I stay aloof. Okay, I am not attached to it. Now, something is dependent on you. you are putting your energy and emotions and then holding it. Okay, oh, it's dependent on me. I am the maintainer, I am the source, I am the controller, I have to protect him. Otherwise, it will just get destroyed. For example, Bharat Maharaj imagined that the deer was dependent on him. And he was even compromising on his own spiritual sadhana and started thinking that he is the maintainer of everything. Okay, he is the maintainer of the deer. He is the protector of the deer. Without him, the deer will die. So, he was thinking like that. Okay. So, there is a conception of when somebody is dependent on you, versus when something is dependent on you, you also have some emotions attached to it. You also have some attachment towards that as a maintainer. Okay. But Krishna says that although everything is dependent on me, I am neutral. Now something is dependent on you, okay? When it is getting damaged like this, okay? Arey, bottle chala gaya. Oh, my bottle is gone and it may get damaged. You immediately get attached to it. But Krishna created this material universe. Entire universe is dependent on him. But when the entire universe is getting destroyed at the end of day of Brahma or at the end of life of Brahma, Krishna is aloof. He is not affected. Or I have created this universe with so much of energy. I am the creator, I am the maintainer, I am destroyer. See, a creator cannot be destroyer. Can you understand this? But Krishna is creator also, destroyer also. You create something and you maintain something. How can you stay aloof when it is getting destroyed? Krishna can stay aloof. Okay. So in that sense, nacha matsthani bhutani. So everything rests on me because I am the source, I am the maintainer. But nothing rests on me because I am aloof, I am detached, I am neutral, I am not bothered. It's all material energy happening. But in spiritual activities, Krishna is not neutral. He is very much attached. But as far as material activities and material realm is concerned, Krishna is detached. Okay, he just sets things into action. They are continuing to do according to his will. Okay, so Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. This is the mystic opulence. One also needs to do things very dutifully, but when the time to get detached comes, then one should just be renounced. One should not get too attached to things. So nachamat sthani bhutani pashyame yogamishwaram bhuta bhrannacha bhutastho mumatma bhuta bhavanaha. And Krishna says that although I maintain everything, bhuta bhrann means the maintainer of everything. Bhuta bhrannacha bhutastho, although I am a part of this creation, means I enter this creation also. Mamatma bhuta bhavanaha, although I am the very source of this creation, still, nacha matsthani bhutani. So Krishna is making one statement in the first line and he is making three more points in the third and fourth lines to contradict what he said in the first line, apparently. In the third and fourth lines, what is he saying? Bhuta bhrin, I am the maintainer of everything. Second, na bhutastha, I am the part of this creation. Okay, I am not a part of this creation. Okay, na bhutastha means I am part of this creation. Means he is not part of creation, but he enters this creation. Okay, as Garbhodaksha Vishnu, the Lord enters this material world, material universe, but he is not a part of this material creation. He is there, but he is aloof. Okay, now you belong to one country, you enter another country, you entered it, but you are aloof. What's happening there? Okay. So, your attachment at your home, you just went for a temporary visit and then you are outside. Okay. You are not too much attached to the affairs there. So, bhuta bhrannacha bhutastho. Although he is the maintainer of everything, nacha bhutastho. He is not a part of that creation. Mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. Because I am the source of this creation. So, he is the source of creation and he is the maintainer of creation. But he is not a part of creation and he is aloof, right? He is nothing is resting on him. In that sense, he is aloof. So all these apparently contradictory concepts and truths about Krishna only reveal his mystic opulence. That's why Krishna says, Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. Behold my mystic opulence, O Arjuna. I am there within everything, I am outside everything. Everything is resting on me, but nothing is resting on me because I am neutral. Everything is dependent on me, but I am not dependent on anything. In that sense, I am there within everything, I am not there within everything. I am the source of everything. So like that, Krishna says so many things. And fourth and fifth shlokas are quite confusing at times. But we need to understand the context and the explanation based on what Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Baldev Vidyabhushan has given us. So whenever I am explaining, I am just taking inputs from different places. Prabhupada, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Baldev Vidyabhushan. Mainly Prabhupada. So, he is not directly concerned with the maintenance of this universe. Although he is the maintainer of everything, he just outsources it. He just tells his expansions, you take care of it. Oh Vishnu, you take care. Brahma, you take care of the creation department. Vishnu, you take care of the maintenance department. And Shiva, you take care of the destruction department. Okay. So these three are one with the Supreme Lord. But they are representing him in executing various things, various duties. They are his representatives and they are one with the Lord in purpose. Not exactly same personalities as the Lord. Let's read the purport now, slightly. He says that although everything is resting on him, he is aloof. The planetary systems are floating in space. And this space is the energy of the Supreme Lord. But he is different from space. He is differently situated. Therefore, the Lord says, although they are situated on my inconceivable energy, as the Lord I am aloof from them. This is the inconceivable opulence of the Lord. Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. The Lord explains this fact. Although he is the maintainer and sustainer of the entire material manifestation, he does not touch this material manifestation. Simply by his supreme will, everything is created, everything is sustained, everything is maintained, and everything is annihilated. By his will, through his energies, through his expansions, he is doing everything, but he is aloof. Okay. Sixth shloka. Krishna gives a beautiful example. Akasha means sky or ether. Yatha akasha sthito nityam Vayuhu. Vayu means air. Although air is there within the sky, sky or ether is like whatever is there, everything within. And within that sky, there is air. Okay. Yatha akasha sthito nityam vayuhu sarvatra go mahan. This vayu goes everywhere. Being situated in the sky, the air is all pervading. It enters everywhere. Okay. Similarly, tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani upadharaya. Okay. In that way, all the living beings are resting within me. Okay. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all the created beings, although they are all over the universe, they are resting on me. So air cannot go anywhere beyond the ether, beyond the sky. Air is all pervading. It can enter every nook and corner. But every corner that the air enters is already within the sky. Is it not? Similarly, the living entities also, they can go anywhere, they can do anything. But whatever they are doing is within the realm of Krishna's energies. They are all within me. They are all resting on the Lord. Is it clear? So, however, all pervading the air may be, it cannot surpass the boundaries of sky. Similarly, however powerful the living entities may be, they cannot surpass the power of the Supreme Lord. They cannot become independent of the Supreme Lord. They have to operate within the limits set by the Supreme Lord. Fine. So all living beings are resting on Krishna. Prabhupada writes, this example is clear? Prabhupada writes, similarly all the wonderful cosmic manifestations are existing by the supreme will of God, and all of them are subordinate to that supreme will. As we generally say, not a blade of grass moves without the Supreme Personality of Godhead's sanction. Not a blade of grass moves. Thus everything is moving under His will. By His will, everything is being created, everything is being maintained, and everything is being annihilated. Still, He is aloof from everything, as the sky is always aloof from activities of the wind. But the sky is not attached where the wind is going. Within the sky, the wind is blowing everywhere. Wind is all-pervading. But what the wind does and where it goes and how it's very hot at times, it's very cool at times, early morning or evening, you go to Madan Mohan temple, wind blows, it's quite cold, you have to close your ears and you have to put your shawl or monkey cap on you, so it's quite cold, you may catch cold. So sometimes, now summer is coming up in a couple of months, then wind blows. And it's very difficult to tolerate that wind, hot wind. So, but sky, although it is containing the wind, the sky is not attached to it. So, air is doing many things and air is operating within the limits of the sky, but the sky is not attached to what's happening with the wind. Similarly, all the living entities are doing many things. They're going everywhere. But they are all dependent on the Supreme Lord, they are resting on the Supreme Lord, but the Lord is independent of them. Next, 7th sloka. Sarva bhutani kaunteya.
Sarva bhutani kaunteya.
Prakritim yanti mamikam.
Prakritim yanti mamikam.
Kalpakshaye punasthaniyam.
Kalpakshaye punasthaniyam.
Kalpadau visrujamyaham.
Kalpadau visrujamyaham.
From 4th sloka till 6th sloka, 4, 5, 6, in these 3 slokas, Krishna described how He maintains the entire world. And He also spoke about His inconceivable material energies by which He maintains this world. Now, 7th and 8th slokas are describing how Krishna creates the material world and destroys this material world through His energies. 7th sloka. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam. All the living entities are created. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam. They are all created, but at the time of destruction, means kalpa kshaye. Kalpa is what? One day of Brahma. We have seen in the previous chapter. Kalpa kshaya means when the day of Brahma ends, all these living entities are destroyed. Okay. Punahasthani. And in the beginning of the next day of Brahma, again they are created. Okay. So, at the time of destruction or at the end of Brahmaji's life, all beings enter into Prakriti, the material energy, composed of the 3 modes. And at the beginning of another creation, I create them again. Okay. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam. At the end of the life of Brahma, all the beings enter into Prakriti, the material nature. This is called Prakritika Pralaya. There are 4 kinds of Pralayas, which are described in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. One is Prakritika Pralaya, that happens at the end of the life of Brahma, where the entire universe gets destroyed and everything enters into Mahavishnu's body. Second type of Pralaya is, Pralaya means annihilation, destruction. Second type of Pralaya is Naimittika Pralaya, or occasional annihilation, that happens at the end of day of Brahma, and everything within one universe enters into Garbhodaksha Vishnu's body. Okay? And that unmanifest state or inactive state continues for one night of Brahma. Then third type of Pralaya is Nitya Pralaya. Constantly some annihilation is happening. Constantly something is getting deteriorated. The leaf that fell down there, it was green once upon a time. Now it is yellowish. After a while, it will become like that brown leaf. Okay? It will become powder. Because as the day is progressing, as the days are progressing, the leaves cannot remain fresh. There is constant deterioration that is happening. And the fourth type of pralaya is called Atyantika Pralaya, When the false ego of the living entity is destroyed, when the false ego of living entity is destroyed, the person just enters into the spiritual world. This is called liberation. Okay, false ego is the reason for the entanglement of the materialistic living entity. When that is destroyed, when that false ego is destroyed, means when the person stops identifying himself with the material body and the material world, and if he realizes that he is spirit soul, then that is called atyantika pralaya, means destruction of false ego, where a person can get liberated and he enters the spiritual realm. Okay. Now Krishna is speaking in this sloka about prakritika pralaya. At the end of the life of Brahma, all the created beings enter into prakriti or material nature. Okay. And in the after some time, when Mahavishnu exhales, we already discussed all these things in the previous sessions. When Mahavishnu exhales, and again in the next phase of creation, all the created beings again take up active states in various species. Okay. So kalpakshaya punasthani kalpado visrujamyaham. Kalpakshaya means at the end of life of Brahma, or day of Brahma. Kalpa ado means in the beginning of the next day of Brahma. Okay. So basically this point, this sloka is speaking about periodic destruction and periodic creation. So within one lifetime of Brahma, there are 100 into 365 creations and destructions. Okay. Every day Brahmaji begins with creation. Every day ends with destruction. Okay. During the night, everything is inactive. Next day morning, again everything begins. So within one lifetime of Brahma, there are 365 into 100 such destructions. He lives for 100 years. At the end of life of Brahma, there is another mega destruction, where everything goes into Mahavishnu's body. Again, in the next phase of creation, again, where the universe is created. Then a new Brahma may come, and then another phase of creation will begin. Like that, creation and destruction happens in this material world periodically. Okay. The creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material cosmic manifestation are completely dependent on the Supreme Will. At the end of millennium means at the death of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years. Okay, so you know all this too. And then again, when there is a need to manifest the cosmic world, it is done by the will, by his will. Fine, 8th sloka. Prakritim swam avashtabhyam.
Prakritim swam avashtabhyam.
Visrujami punah punaham.
Visrujami punah punaham.
Bhutagramam imam kritsnam.
Bhutagramam imam kritsnam.
Avasham prakritir vashat.
Avasham prakritir vashat.
Prakritim swam avashtabhya. Visrujami punah punaham. Okay, under my will, under Krishna's will, what happens? With his energy, the whole cosmic order is manifested again and again. Visrijami punaha punaha. Srijami means creation, created. The Lord creates again and again by his own will. And bhutagrama mimam kritsnam avasham prakrite vashat. And by the force of nature, the entire bhutagrama, the aggregate of living entities again are meant to get annihilated at the end of that creation period. Fine. So under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will, it is annihilated at the end. So in this way, there is repeated creation and destruction going on in this world. And this whole thing is explained several times about Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. Prabhupada writes again all of that in the purport. Avasham is an important word in this sloka. Avasham means the living entities. Vasha means something is under your control. Avasham means beyond your control. So this creation and annihilation happens irrespective of the desires of the conditioned souls. Conditioned soul cannot say, okay, let me postpone my death for 10 more days. Not possible. So I agree with destruction, but I want the destruction to happen at so and so time. No, you cannot. And I want the creation to happen at so and so time. Okay, next life, I want to take birth from parents who are very rich. This lifetime, I have poor parents. Next lifetime, I want rich parents. I want beautiful parents. I want to take birth in Australia, not in some other place. So one cannot say like that. One cannot choose one's parents. One cannot choose one's looks. So things are beyond one's control. One cannot choose the time of one's death. Okay. So one cannot plan for all these inevitable changes that happen by the material world and material modes. The state of being in their past life is the in the past creation is simply manifested again. The creation takes place to accommodate the inclinations of various living entities. And so the law does not become involved with it. Now, actually the creation and maintenance are happening only because of our desire. Because the living entities want to enjoy separately from Krishna, the entire material world is being created and annihilated again and again. If a person is not interested to enjoy separately from Krishna, and if he seeks enjoyment only in rendering service to Krishna, then the material world need not be created and maintained and destroyed again and again. Okay. But although this whole thing is happening by our own desire, still we don't have complete control over these things. Okay. Now you may desire to eat something in a restaurant. You enter there. But everything within the restaurant is not within your control. Okay. You may desire to enter so and so restaurant. You may desire to order, say, pizza or say, masala dosa, whatever. So you have some control over it. But along with the desire getting fulfilled, you have to encounter many other things. You have no control over who sits next to you on your table or the table next to you. You have no control over the kind of chairs that he is using in the restaurant. In our restaurant, these chairs only are there. You don't have any control over what kind of paintings he is keeping on the wall in the restaurant. You have no control over what are the lamps and bulbs that he is using. Right? Even if you ask also, they will say, you have come to eat masala dosa, eat and go. Don't give 100 suggestions. Okay? So you have one desire. Because of your desire, you entered certain arena. And while you are fulfilling that desire, you will have to encounter so many other experiences which are not very pleasant to you. You have no control over them. Because of a person's desire, he has entered some material body. Along with being in that material body, he has to encounter so many other things. Okay. Once you acquire a material body according to the strength of your past desires, the material body will come along with so many troubles. You have purchased a laptop. It's your desire. You paid for it. You have selected the model. After researching 100 models, you have selected this model. But that model also has so many limitations. Okay. You have to live with all of them. It gets heated up sometimes. So you have made this choice. Just live with it. And if you say, I will exchange it, they will say, give me more money. Fine. So you cannot have complete control. There is no complete independence. Okay. So, now that's why the word avasham is very important. Things are not within our control. Because of our desire only, this material manifestation is there. But while fulfilling our own desires within this material realm, we'll have to encounter so many unpleasant experiences. We have to helplessly just experience all the difficulties. Next.
Nachamamtani karmani
nibaddhananti dhananjayam
udasinavadasinam
asaktam teshu karmasu. O Dhananjaya, Krishna says, nachamamtani karmani nibaddhananti dhananjaya. All this work that Krishna is only doing, the creation work, maintenance work, destruction work that Krishna is doing, will not affect him, will not bind him. When we do some creation, we are bound by that creation. A house owner may build a house and he gets attached to that house, and when his attachment to that house is so much that even at the time of death he is thinking about that house only, he will have to take birth in that house or in front of that house. as a poor man, or as a dog, or as an insect, or a cockroach in one corner of the kitchen, okay, or a tree which is very close to that house, we don't know, okay. So when we create something, we get attached to that creation. But Krishna creates everything, but he is not attached to anything in the creation. Can you just imagine the height of his renunciation? One of his opulences is renunciation. So all these slokas are indicating Krishna's renunciation. Whenever Krishna says, they are not dependent on me, I am not there within them, everything is there within me, I am not there within them, means everything is happening because of my energies, but I am not attached to anything. That only shows his detachment. All these apparently contradictory concepts that Krishna spoke in 4th sloka, 5th sloka, and even 9th sloka, all these are indicating his opulence of renunciation. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. Okay. Behold my mystic opulence of renunciation. Although I am the cause of everything, I am not attached to anything. Okay. So, he says, Nachamam tani karmani ni badhananti. There is bandhan. When you do some material activity, there is a bond is created with the reaction of that activity. But although Krishna is doing material activity on such a mass scale, creation of the material world, maintenance of the material world, destruction of the material world, we create one building or we create some project, we create this and that, and we get attached to it, we get entangled by it also. But Krishna creates on such a large scale, but he is not affected by it. That's why in the Bhagavatam also there is a beautiful sloka.
Etadishanamishasya prakritistho pitadgunaihi nayujyate sadatmasthair yatha buddhihi tadashrayaha. Etad ishanamishasya, this is the divinity of the Supreme Lord, prakritistho pitadgunaihi nayujyate. Although he is doing so many activities with the material nature, tad gunaihi na yujyate, he is not affected by the qualities of material nature. Okay, that's the greatness of Krishna. He is unaffected. Same thing Krishna is revealing here. Nibad dhananti dhananjaya, they cannot bind me. Udasinavad asinam. Asinam means I am situated. How? Udasinavad, neutral. Udasin, asin. I am just sitting there neutrally. I am witnessing everything. Kartasya sarga dishayona badhyate nahanyate deha gatopi daihikaihi. In the 5th canto, 19th chapter, 12th shloka, Bhagavatam, it says that Kartasya sarga dishayona badhyate, although Krishna is the karta, the doer, the performer of this entire creation, he is not affected by it. Yona badhyate, he is not bound by it, he is not entangled by it. Kartasya sarga dishayona badhyate nahanyate deha gatopi daihikaihi. Although Krishna takes up so many forms in human species and non-human species, he is not affected by the qualities of those bodies. Okay. And just like he took a varaha form, whatever experiences a regular hog is experiencing, that is not experienced by Krishna. He is always divine. Okay. So, next is drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate. Although Krishna witnesses so many things, he is not affected by it. Okay. Now when you witness something, if you like it, you get excited. A meat eater is there. He may see some innocent animal is being slaughtered to take its meat. And this meat eater gets excited. But a compassionate soul will feel compassion. Oh, this poor innocent animal is getting affected like this, just to satisfy the tongue of some meat eaters. So these innocent animals are being killed like this. The people, somebody will feel compassion like that. So there is effect, there is, when you see something that gets affected, that creates an impact on you, you get affected by it depending on what is your consciousness, what is your mood. Okay. But Krishna, although he witnesses so many things, he can remain neutral. He can remain unaffected. Fine. So, udasina vadasinam, asaktam teshu karmasu. Asakta means without any attraction or attachment. So, he is in the spiritual world, he is always engaged. Atmarama. He is Atmarama means, he is self-satisfied. Aptakama. All his desires are automatically fulfilled. He is eternal, blissful, and he has spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with these material activities. Material activities are being created, carried on by his different potencies, but he remains aloof. He does not interfere with the minute details of all these things. Just like a high court judge, he may give a punishment of say 10 years or 20 years imprisonment to somebody, or he may give reward to someone because you have saved so many people, you are great, like that, he may reward someone. So, but the court judge is not affected. Now when the sun rises, all the birds are very happily singing. Now you can see the chirping of birds in all these trees. So when the sun rises, the birds will enjoy. Chakravaki bird will enjoy. And the lotuses will bloom like this. But along with the sunrise, all the thieves and rogues, they get affected. During the night, all these thieves will go and steal from different places. But when sun rises, these thieves and rogues will lose that opportunity. You cannot go and steal in daylight, generally. So now, is the sun affected by all this? Sunrise and sunset are having different impacts or influences on different people according to their own consciousness, but the sun is unaffected, he is neutral. Okay, sun is not attached to these birds. I want to give joy to the birds, that's why I will rise. Or I want to trouble these thieves, that's why I will rise. He is not thinking like that. He is just rising and setting according to the supreme will. Because the Supreme Lord has appointed him, give light to this material universe and travel like this. You give light on this hemisphere during these 12 hours, and on the other hemisphere you go and then give light there. So like that, sun is traveling according to his own course. Okay, he is unaffected. Last sloka in this section. Basically, the gist is, bondage arises from desire and attachment to action and its results. Although Krishna is performing so many actions, he has no desire to perform this action of material creation. He has no attachment to the enjoyment that comes through this. He does not enjoy in that plane. He has no attachment to acting like this, and he is not attached to the results of these actions. Attachment to action and attachment to results of action. These two will create bondage, but Krishna is not bound because he has no attachment to action, he has no attachment to the results of action also. Fine. 10th sloka.
मया अध्यक्षेन प्रकृतिः सूयते सचराचरम् हेतुना अनेन कौन्तेयम् जगद्विपरिवर्तते मया अध्यक्षेन प्रकृतिः सूयते सचराचरम् मया अध्यक्षेन अंडर माय सुपरिंटेंडेंस
कृष्णा सेइंग प्रकृतिः दिस मटेरियल यूनिवर्स मटेरियल नेचर Suyate sacharacharam is producing all moving and non-moving entities. The bodies of moving beings and immovable entities are being created by Prakriti under the superintendence of Krishna. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti hi suyate sacharacharam. Hetunanena Kaunteya, under its rule, O Kaunteya, Jagat Viparivartati. The universe is being created and being annihilated again and again. The whole universe is getting created and destroyed by the influence of Prakriti or material nature under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord Krishna, but he is unaffected by all this. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is the supreme director. The Supreme Lord is the supreme will and the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. All living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attached to this material creation. Krishna has created a system. He has put some rules and regulations, and this is how this material nature should function. He is the director, he did all that. And now you, by your own choice, you are entering into it. Now, for example, there is an exhibition. In that exhibition, there are different games, right? There is Tora, there is Giant Wheel, You sit in some wheel and then it will take you some 40, 50, 60 feet above the ground level and you are just rotated like this. Initially it is rotating slowly. After some time it becomes very fast. And there is like, I don't know all the names. So you just swing like this and there is some train that goes like this, like this, like this. Okay. I don't know the names of all that. But who has created all this? There is a director to this whole circus or exhibition. Okay. All these games are designed by someone. There are director. So there is the director appoints some designers. All the designers will design. Okay, this is how it will be. They will place all these games at different spots. And there are assistants. There are employees and all that. Now we make a choice which one to enter. Somebody will enter giant wheel. And he goes up. It gets stuck there. Okay. And he will feel insecure. Something will happen to me. Right. I mean, is the director to be blamed? Okay. Now, if he is getting, if that is damaged, the giant wheel is damaged, then the director has to be blamed. But the giant wheel is functioning well. But you are getting fearful in that giant wheel. That is your problem. They will also say, heart patients, people who are so fearful should not enter this place. So like that, the owner of that whole games or exhibition or whatever, amusement park, I don't know the name, water park or whatever. So they have created a system. They have given us different warning notes. Just like Krishna also created this material world. He has given warning. This is Dukkhalayam, this is Ashashvatam, this is mode of goodness. You should eat like this, you should speak like this. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam hitam chayat. So Krishna has given all the information of the material world in Bhagavad Gita, in our scriptures. It's your independent choice to just develop some desire and then do whatever. Okay. And depending on your desires and your actions driven by those desires, you will attain some results. You cannot blame God. How can God do like this? I'm such a good person. You check your own past deeds. Okay. Sun is not to be blamed when a bee who entered a lotus will just get attracted to the honey of the lotus and then stuck into the lotus only and doesn't come out. And at the time of sunset, the lotus petals will close. The bee is entrapped within the lotus and it will die by the time the lotus petals open again. Why did the lotus petals close? Because of sunset. So sun is the cause of the death of this bee. The bee has entered. Sun is neutral. Sun is just doing his job. Similarly, giant wheel is doing his job. Its job. If you are getting fearful, that's your responsibility. Who asked you to enter there? You are getting hot. Who asked you? They told you. Don't. You should not get into this train. Which is going up and down like this. If you have some back pain, you have some other things. If some jerk comes, that will affect your body. So you take the responsibility. So Krishna is the adhyaksha. He is the superintendent. Okay. Although the living entities are born under the Lord's glance in the universe, they take birth in different forms and species according to their own past desires and activities. So the Lord is not directly attached to this creation. Being the superintendent, he is the efficient cause and Prakriti is the material cause. Means the immediate cause is Prakriti and the ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord. So whatever is happening in the exhibition is happening under the direction of the director. But whatever reactions or experiences that the visitors are getting by entering into that park, you cannot attribute everything to the director. In one sense you can attribute, but in another sense you cannot. You have made this choice. You go to hotel, they make different things. In that exhibition only, they keep so many food items. They keep pav bhaji, they keep papad, they keep dosa, they keep idli, they keep medu vada, they keep this and that. Some are spicy, some are non-spicy, some are moderately spicy, some are cold, some are hot. You went and took a cold drink and you already have cold and you start sneezing more. Your throat gets corrupted. You cannot blame that canteen guy. You eat something spicy food, there is a lot of mirchi is there and you start coughing and then your eyes are shedding tears. Nayanam galadhashru dharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira. You can't blame that guy. He already told you, it's a spicy thing. If you want to go, take non-spicy. हाँ ट्राई करते करके यू जस्ट टेक एन स्पाइसी थिंग एंड दैट्स अफेक्टिंग योर थ्रोट सो इट्स योर चॉइस वी हैव टू मेक दैट चॉइस ओके थैंक यू सो वी विल कंक्लूड हियर एंड वी विल बिगिन इन द नेक्स्ट सेशन कुरुमदामंत वर्स हरे कृष्ण